We get things underway by welcoming back to the program from WBZ CBS Boston, our friend Michael Hurley. Mr. Hurley, good day, sir.
Absolutely. And Rudy Giuliani actually says if Mike Hurley is on every day, Rich Kimball will win the presidential election.
But he slurs it when he says it because...
It's very aggressive. It's a very aggressive statement. Yeah.
Screaming into the camera, yes. How have you been?
Wonderful. Thank you. It's funny when you asked me to come on. I said, yeah, Monday works. You know, not like it matters in this sportsless world. And then the world drops a sports cherry on top of Sunday night. So that was lovely.
And they did it, I think, largely just for you. But, you know, also helps when you're trying to distract from, you know, some bad news in terms of another brilliant ruling from the commissioner's office.
Oh, yeah. The lovely NFL. This one, you know, they've had many different philosophies when it comes to conducting investigations. This one with the Bengals was, let's just wait like 7 months and then everyone will forget the details and then we can just punish them harshly and everyone will assume they did something really bad, even though against all odds, somehow this was legitimately an honest mistake from a guy who didn't obtain any secret footage, who offered to give it back, who admitted to what he did, and the team admitted to what they did. Nevertheless, third round pick, smell you later, because the NFL says that's how it rules in this case and you can't do anything about it.
Yeah, that whole thing is just bizarre, but I guess expected from what we see in the NFL office. But let's talk about the trade, and I think another brilliant, really low risk, no lose move for Bill Belichick.
Yeah, I mean, the idea, and it's kind of ridiculous, because, well, first of all, we don't know. You don't know, I don't know, nobody knows whether Cam Newton will ever be as good as he was. So talking about that right now is kind of, you know, it's a guess. There's nothing to it. But if you just look at the facts of what we know right now, you have someone that was an MVP 5 years ago, someone who is probably the most unique quarterback that we've ever seen. 6'5", 245 pounds, can run, can throw, can take hits, can do everything. Number one overall pick. You have him available despite being the team with the least amount of salary cap, despite having no money available. It just seems like just when the NFL and the AFC East in particular can finally see the light at the end of the tunnel of this 20-year run of dominance, this situation happens for Bill Belichick. And again, I don't know if it's going to work out swimmingly, but I know that if anyone was going to capitalize on something like this, it would be Bill Belichick. And I just know that people in Buffalo and Miami and in Florham Park, New Jersey, just must be throwing things against the wall because they know what Belichick can do with this situation.
So how did he pull this off with a whole league of people always looking for quality talent?
Well, I think the injury concerns about Newton were certainly real. I mean, shoulder injuries in back-to-back seasons followed by a foot injury that cost him a whole year. When you're talking about a guy that relies on mobility largely when he's at his best, obviously that's going to be a concern. But I am surprised that nobody came biting because you had teams draft quarterbacks. I think there was 3 first-rounders and 2 second-rounders, if I'm not mistaken. Obviously, Burrow was going to go number one. But, you know, Miami could have had Cam Newton and drafted somewhere else a quarterback. A lot of places moved on without even thinking about Cam Newton. And obviously the offseason with the coronavirus and not being able to work out and show your strength didn't help him, but anyone with an Instagram account could see that he was working out pretty hard, pretty much nonstop from the second, even before the Panthers released him. That's pretty much what he's been doing. So he certainly looks healthy. I thought a team would have been willing. You look at some of the guys that got, I mean, Teddy Bridgewater got Cam Newton's job despite not being, you know, not having any sort of resume. He started, what, 6-7 games last year, didn't blow the lights out or anything, and he got a job for I think, $60 million, 3 years, $60 million. So the fact that the difference between that and Newton was so severe, it surprised me. But again, Belichick probably threw out a feeler or a light offer early in the process and said, look, if you don't get what you're looking for, this is what we have here. It's there for you. Let me know by this date. And maybe that date was June 28th, for all we know. And it's not what Cam wanted. But again, if you're talking about the Patriots, I can't imagine you're getting a quarterback more motivated than the one that they're getting right now.
Absolutely. And a guy who's immensely exciting, even if it doesn't work out. It's a whole lot more fun to talk about the start of the season with Cam Newton out there than Brian Hoyer, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, instead of the two tight end, fullback, power eye formation, run 3 yards in a cloud of dust, it really changes the whole thing because, again, we don't know what he's going to be, but every week we're going to be like, is this the week that Cam is Cam again? Is this the week that we see, the MVP caliber player, the number one overall pick, the national champion in college? Every week is going to have that intrigue to it. And if he reaches it, it'll obviously be exciting. If he doesn't, then it obviously is still going to be intriguing. And then maybe Stidham is better than we think. And he's not going anywhere. I mean, poor Brian Hoyer is probably going to have another August of misery like he had last year. But, there's a lot to be interested in with this storyline. I hate to say storyline when it's a sport and the team only cares about the sport, but from a viewer standpoint, it's going to be pretty great.
And it also provides the opportunity that's always fun, not just with Patriots fans, but any fans, for all those people who hated that guy, couldn't stand him, to be standing up and cheering when all of a sudden he starts playing like the Cam Newton of old.
It is funny, and it works out too, because Cam Newton has always been sort of someone that people either love or hate, especially during that MVP campaign. He'd smile, he'd signal first downs, and for whatever reasons, when he celebrated, it made certain people very angry. And so a lot of people have hated Cam Newton. They think he's too cocky or whatever it might be. It's a lot like the quarterback who used to play in New England, where locally people loved him. Outside of, the local area, people generally hated him for a variety of reasons. So it works out. Patriots fans will learn to embrace that, I'm sure, just because of all the experience they have defending their quarterback against the rest of the world.
Speaking of that guy that used to play quarterback, what's he thinking with violating league protocol and just general good sense out there continuing to practice?
Are you saying things in Florida aren't perfect right now?
It's hard to believe, I know.
I mean, it definitely, as normal people, we can't really fathom it, but as these psychotic athletes and their psychotic levels of competition and competitiveness, that's equally as hard for us to understand. So I think these guys, they have to play. They have their season starting, and there is no easy route to that in the middle of a pandemic. So, I mean, in a typical, fashion of everything involving Brady, everyone else is doing. Every other team has their workouts going and their throwing sessions and things like that. But it's of course Brady who always gets the larger headline and the larger target. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's no easy way to navigate that when you're 42 and everyone doubted you and the team that employed you for 20 years and you had unprecedented success with kicks you to the curb, and you are that motivated to show that they made a mistake, and you have to work with new teammates in a new system. The options aren't great. So whether it's sit around and do Zoom chats or get in the field and do that, he feels like he's got to do something. So I'm not saying I would be out there, but if Tom Brady yelled at me and I was the fifth string receiver, I'd probably be out there, just to be honest with you. So it's not a great time for anybody.
Michael Hurley with us here on Downtown. Well, the other good news with the Cam Newton signing is it can continue the glorious legacy of uniform number one in Patriots lore.
Yeah, he had a couple of kickers in the mascot. So I hadn't thought about it, though, because Newton was number two at Auburn, which is Brian Hoyer's number. And again, I don't even remember the fourth preseason game last year, or no, the third preseason game. Bill just made Hoyer stand on the sideline the whole game, and you could see something clicked in the third quarter when he wasn't going in. That it was over. That he's like, you could see in his head, he's like, I got to find a new place to live. I got to get my kids to school. I got all these things. I feel like Bill really likes Brian Hoyer. Maybe now would be the time to sort of let him move on and find a new job, because the upcoming summer doesn't seem fun when you're the Brian Hoyer of that trio. So maybe he'll end up with number two, and I didn't explore that. I think Flutie might have worn that. Couldn't name another two, maybe one of those backups along the way. So one or two, either way, not a lot of history there in Patriots lore, as far as I know.
We don't talk much about the Bruins as a football, and then the imminent report of baseball players here has sort of taken center stage. But what kind of shape will the Bruins be in if we can pull this together and have some sort of a playoff starting later in July?
Well, it's going to be weird for all of them. When you think about it, those play-in games, that the round robin tournament that is, you know, planned for the top three seeds, I mean the top four seeds, excuse me, those are going to be intense because there's a lot on the line. You have the Bruins, who have a whole lot more points than anyone else, basically risking their top seed and the second seed. They could fall as far to fourth if they don't show up sharp, and all the teams are going to be in the same boat. And I think the intensity is going to be much higher than the ability and fitness level at that point, just because these guys haven't skated for probably the longest stretch of their lives. I mean, the season ends for these guys, say it ends in April if you don't make the playoffs, they're probably back on the ice by June at the latest. And the guys who go deep into the playoffs, you know, they're back at it by the middle of the summer. So the fitness is going to be a problem. I don't know what that is going to manifest itself in. I don't know if that leads to more injuries. I don't know if it leads to, you know, sloppier play, more open ice. But everyone will be in the same boat. It'll be even playing field. So I really have no idea. I mean, they were the best team from October to whenever things shut down, mid-March. That might not mean anything come late July, early August. So it's kind of like starting from scratch. Really weird situation. It'll be captivating to watch, but I do have some sort of feeling that the teams that were great and buzzing and everything like that are basically drawn back to the pack immediately. So it's kind of anyone's game, and the Bruins don't really seem to have an advantage.
That's why I kind of like the NBA's approach, that at least teams get a chance to ramp up before they get right into playoff level intensity.
Yeah, the NHL was obviously in a tough spot with some of those teams. There was really like two or three teams that could have made the playoffs and would have lost the opportunity. If I were the commissioner, I would be better than Gary Bettman in every possible way. and that would include, in this case, I would say, sorry, but you played 70, 71 games. You didn't make the playoffs. It was a pandemic. We had to do something. Enjoy the offseason. Now these teams have to go. And the fact that the loser of one of those play-in rounds is going to get the number one pick in the draft makes it even more absurd, because you could have, I don't know, a fifth seed in either conference lose to the 12th seed, and all of a sudden that team is picking first in the draft. It's a cluster, just like everything involving Gary Bettman making decisions is. I don't think it's perfect. It's not necessarily a crisis or anything worth, you know, raising a big stink about, but I do think they screwed that up a little, where you have, they catered to the teams that didn't make the playoffs as opposed to the teams that did, and I would have done that differently because, again, I'm better than Gary Bettman, and I would like that on the record.
I think Mike Huckabee said that as well.
That's true.
You had a little mini vacation. I hope it went well, but it sounds like you weren't enamored with the Yacht Rock guy on Sirius XM Radio.
So are you familiar with the channel?
I am. Sadly, yes, I am.
Well, the music obviously speaks for itself and does most of the heavy lifting, but every, you know, two or three songs, the guy will come on and just sort of throw on the cheese. Like, hey, like he kind of winks at you, like, hey, you don't really like this music. You only listen to sort of, you know, be funny. And it's like, no, sir, I'm trying to match a certain vibe right now, and you're killing it by mocking me and my musical taste in this moment in time. If I want to listen to Christopher Cross right now, I don't need you trying to, you know, make a joke out of it. So if I could speak to that man, I would ask him to just either take his job more seriously or resign. I hate to see anyone lose their jobs at this point in time, but I don't think he's the right man for the job, if I'm being honest.
And if we lived in a perfect world, I mean, you've been an immensely successful sports writer and broadcaster through the years, but could anything really be a career capper like winning somehow the Golden Arch Award from McDonald's?
So you saw that. So I was trying to find an old tweet. I forget why. I was trying to find the footage of the Bengals or something. That, you know, I searched my old tweets, and it's just, you don't want to dive in there. Once you're in,
oh,
there,
no, that's bad. Yeah,
yeah, you, reading old tweets, you never want to do that. But I came across, I think I was driving in New York, and I stopped at a McDonald's, you know, one of those highway rest stops on the Mass Pike on the way out west, and saw the most bizarre sign where everyone's in tuxedos at these McDonald's galas and they're winning awards, and I honestly just feel left out. Like if anyone deserves an invite to a black tie event for McDonald's, whatever, like I should be there. I assume there's like fountains of French fries, just plentiful food everywhere. I feel like that is a little bit of heaven, and the fact that I've been left out, it hurts personally. And I feel like if I have one goal, you know, in this life, I'm in my mid-30s now. I think I can say that comfortably. I have, hopefully, at least double that left. I would like to get into the Arch Society, and I would like to, you know, put on a cummerbund and show up to these galas, because I think I deserve it, given all that I've given to the McDonald's Corporation over the years.
Well, look, if we can do anything to help support your candidacy, even if it's a secret society, you know you can count on us.
I appreciate that. I kind of assumed that, but I appreciate getting it confirmed.
We're here for you. We're working on our blurb as we speak. Michael, we thank you. As always, be well and stay safe, and we'll check in again with you soon.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you.
It's Michael Hurley, CBS Boston, WBZ.